Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, February 2nd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. GameStop shares took a wild swing lower yesterday, down about 30%. That might make it tempting for casual investors who've been watching the current trading frenzy to jump in with the hopes of scoring some quick cash. But before you tap buy, there are some good reasons to think twice and set down your phone.
I think the bottom line is don't give in to your FOMO, some fear of missing out. And if you're a person who likes to gamble and you do gamble and you have a gambling budget, that could be where you're drawing the funds from. If the funds are for your essentials, that's probably not a good idea.
Our personal finance editor, Beray Lam, and her team have been studying the current trading craze and the potential impact on your money. She'll join us with some important information about the market you'll need to know before you consider buying and discuss the market forces that could prevent you from selling when you want to. That's after the break.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Depending on the day, shares of GameStop, AMC, and other stocks that have been part of the latest trading craze are just as likely to zoom higher as they are to fall. That could wreak havoc for investors putting their personal finances on the line in hopes of making some quick cash. Beray Lam heads up the personal finance team at the Wall Street Journal. She's got some things that new investors need to know and watch out for before pulling the trigger and joining the frenzy. And she joins me now. Beray, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Chair.
You know, the other day we spoke with personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter from your team about the pressure people might feel from online forums to get in and try to score some quick cash. But what kind of self-imposed discipline does this involve on the part of traders to protect their finances, even if they want to buy just one share?
So, yeah, this is a question we've been getting from a lot of people who may be feeling some FOMO, some fear of missing out when they're sitting on the sidelines with their stimulus money and watching these extraordinary gains in these hot stocks, GameStop, AMC, BlackBerry. But as you can see, the day-to-day changes can be really dramatic in either direction. You know, these stocks can go way up or way down. And so that's what I think the people who are sort of fighting the urge to jump in should really think a little more about, is that right now, jumping into GameStop because of peer pressure or because you're seeing this fun party online that you want to be part of, this is really not going to produce returns for you. It's a gamble and you should be prepared to lose that investment. And I'm seeing that, you know, there's people who want to buy in solidarity of these Reddit traders. They call themselves the one share club or the two share club. They're just buying not to move the market, but just to show solidarity with these traders. And so if you're doing that and not treating it as an investment, then that's your call in terms of if you want to make that bet, knowing that you can lose that one share or two shares value entirely. So for example, GameStop ended Monday's trading session at $225 a share. So if you're going to be part of this one share club, putting $225 into GameStop, then you should be prepared to lose that $225. And so if you're okay with that, then that's something, that's where you have to start from if you're considering being part of the one share club or two share club. GameStop is a very specific case right now. And you know, that's part of the reason so many people want in. But its rise is not based on business fundamentals. It's rooted in technical factors and momentum. And that's what makes this buy so different from anything else you can buy on the market right now.
But doesn't it also require some homework about the market itself? You know, the market is a game of ups and downs, and people need to know that this can't go on forever. The prices of GameStop and others, as we've seen, even if they were to go up, they're eventually going to go down.
that's where I think it's worth reading a little bit about what the genesis of this bet is, right? So, you know, to hear it from Wall Street Bets, the popular Reddit forum, they made the investment together because GameStop was heavily shorted and they wanted to do a short squeeze. So what comes next now that momentum has kicked in, right? So momentum is a double-edged sword. It can really make stocks go up or really amplify losses. So that's where I think you really need to do a little reading about momentum, is momentum pushing these stocks up. And also a lot of people on these forums are saying, we'll all sell at 1,000 together. Like, that's one of the rallying cries on these Reddit message boards. And that's a hard thing to do, because if everyone's selling, who is going to buy those shares? So I think investors need to think really carefully about that kind of plan, if that's what they're thinking.
Yeah, you bring up a really good fundamental point. It may sound like a silly question, but if everybody were to wait and sell GameStop at, say, $1,000 a share, wouldn't everybody win?
So there's a couple problems with this strategy, if you can call it that, that will all sell when it gets to 1,000. First of all, we're really far off from that. Even with the, you know, January 1,600% gain in GameStop, like we were, you know, just over 300. So, you know, to get to 1,000, it's kind of out there. But the other thing to remember about this so-called strategy of everyone selling at 1,000 is that stock prices change as people sell their shares. And so if everyone sells at 1,000, not everyone will be able to sell at 1,000. And so I think that's, you know, a hard thing to think about, perhaps. But the other side of this is that someone has to buy if you want to sell. And so when sentiment changes, there will be less people who will want to buy. So it's a bad assumption to assume that when the stock hits 1,000, there will still be tons of people who will want to buy GameStop stock. If you assume that, then you could think about this everybody winning situation, but that is just not true, that there'll be an equal number of sellers versus buyers in that kind of situation. And another thing to think about is the technical part of this, right? Robinhood, last week when a lot of volatility was going on, they had restricted trading of specifically these hot stocks. So, you know, for a day there, they were saying, you can only close your position, you can't buy more. And so if the trading platforms also make a move, if GameStop ever hits 1,000, then there are just lots of problems to think about.
You know, we sometimes hear about a thing in the world of stock trading called the greatest fool theory. What is that? And does it apply here?
The greater fool theory is there's somebody out there who's a greater fool than me and sort of like late to the party, let's so to speak. So if I have GameStop stock and I know it's going down, I will be able to offload it to the greater fool. And so that's the same as what I just went through in terms of assuming there will always be a buyer when you want to sell. It's very, very optimistic, to say the least.
Now, I want to ask you about a couple of things that some people online are discussing as possible ways of investing in GameStop. A lot of the talk is about buying GameStop stock, but what about GameStop options? Is there risk there?
So options is a cheap way to bet on a company. It gives you the right to buy shares at some price that's much higher than the current price at some point in the future. And so options are cheaper because they're unlikely to pay off, but that's also the way a lot of people have been betting on GameStop. The risk with options is that you could lose everything. Unlike buying a stock, an options contract can just be completely worthless. Whereas if you think about GameStop at the beginning of this year, they started at $18, $19 a share. So if you buy a share versus an option, you could at least get $18, $19 back. Let's say like that's what we're treating as a baseline of what the share is worth without all these factors, you know, the factors of the Reddit traders and the short squeeze and the momentum drivers. So you can get $19 back. And so that's the difference between buying a share and buying an option for a regular investor.
And there's also an investment strategy called dollar cost averaging that some investors are talking about in relation to GameStop. Can you explain what that is and whether it would help here?
I have heard dollar cost averaging thrown around as a way to invest in GameStop safely, so to speak. But dollar cost averaging is to even out your price of buying the stock by investing over time. The reason I don't think that that really matters when it comes to the GameStop stock at this moment is that, you know, as of close Monday, we're still at like $225 a share. So the shares are already really high. So I think dollar cost averaging isn't really going to help you when the stock is so volatile and the price is already so high.
Okay, Bure, bottom line, a lot of people want to know, is it too late to get in on this?
No one knows how this will end in terms of the brokerage platforms and your ability to get in. We know that Robinhood is still only allowing limited buys of these hot stocks, whereas on E-Trade, Webull, Interactive Brokers, Schwab and TD, you can still, you know, unrestricted buy these stocks. At Schwab and TD, as long as you meet the margin requirements, you're able to trade the stock. I can't say how this will end. So I also, because of that, I can't also say if it's too late to get in. But if you're someone who was looking for, you know, 3-digit gains, you may not see that. So if you bought at $20, then maybe you've seen these massive gains that you've been seeing as the headline for many media reports and TV reports. But if you're getting in now, your gains might be much more modest than those who got in, say, at $18 at the beginning of the year. I think the bottom line is don't give in to your FOMO. And if you're a person who likes to gamble and you do gamble and you have a gambling budget, that could be where you're drawing the funds from. If the funds are for your essentials, that's probably not a good idea. Whereas if you have a funny money account, so to speak, for going to Vegas, then sure, like maybe that's where you want to use that money, that part of your budget. But it's also based on your personality too. You know, if you're the type of person who can't stick to your gambling budget and, you know, has a tendency to keep going with a certain kind of bet, then I think that's the kind of person where you should use a lot more caution and do a lot more reading about this topic before jumping in.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal personal finance editor Bure Lam. Bure, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, JR. Always a pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.